Welcome to the Kissimmee Utility Authority December 2nd meeting. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, if we can have a motion to approve today's agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Everyone in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed signify by no. Agenda approved. We go into awards and presentations. I call on our general manager, Brian Horton, for this item.
Yes, Madam Chair. Item D1 is recently, KUA was awarded the Florida Municipal Electric Association's Building Strong Communities Award. And here to present that and tell us a little bit about that award is Director of Corporate Communications, Tiffany Henderson.
Good afternoon. I'm here to present this award to the board. The Florida Municipal Electric Association has presented its 2020 Building Strong Communities Award to KUA for the utility's strong commitment to addressing community needs during the past year. KUA was one of 21 utilities honored statewide. This year's efforts related to the COVID-19 pandemic were also recognized. Public power utilities across the state suspended disconnects for unpaid bills, waived late and reconnect fees, and offered payment assistance plans to help customers financially impacted by the pandemic. In addition to suspending disconnections and late fees for a period of time, KUA utilized $8 million to offset fuel expenses and enhance its contribution to the Good Neighbor Fund to assist customers in need. KUA was announced as an award recipient on November 2nd at the FMEA Energy Connections Virtual Conference.
Very good. Thank you. Yes. Congratulations, KUA, and all the staff.
It's all about the staff.
Okay. We have... We have a couple of service awards today. The first one is for Mr. Corey Glee, who is a revenue protection specialist within our customer service department. He unfortunately was not able to be here today, but we want to thank him for his service nonetheless. Mr. Jeffrey Gray, come on up here.
Well, I'm working the DJ booth here. Give me a second.
Well, they got the wrong picture of you.
We are recognizing Jeff Gray, who's our Vice President of Information Technology, for 20 years of service to KUA. Appreciate it. The next service award is also a 20-year service award, and also another IT employee, Mr. Chris Regal, who's our manager of automated metering systems. He and Jeff started a week apart 20 years ago. And then next, we've got our December 2020 Employee of the Month, Mr. Luis Lopez. Where are you, Luis?
Yeah.
The facility workers within our finance and administration department. And when I was told about him receiving the Employee of the Month award, I couldn't be prouder, more deserving person than Luis. This is what... one of your employees had to say about you. Lewis always greets everyone with a huge smile and warm hello. Anytime you ask something, he goes above and beyond to complete the task. He is always learning new things, and if you suggest something to him that might be a better way, he's always open to learning. He takes great pride in the Casper Conservatory down in the lobby, keeping it beautifully groomed and well cared for. In fact, he seems to take great care and personal concern about the appearance of all of KUA's buildings. Luis is such an appreciative person. His positive attitude is truly inspirational. Thank you, Luis.
Not fair. I'm going to do the same thing. Hi, congratulations.
Special K, right hand pill.
And I have a
day. Well, let me give him his pride.
You.
Pride. Congratulations.
Thank you. Director Raymond Sanchez.
Congratulations. Like Monopoly, you get free parking.
Now we're going to hear the audience. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board? Hearing none, we go on to the next item. Informational presentations. Is none.
Well, we've got the consent agenda, Madam Chair.
Oh, sorry. Consent agenda. Approval of, do I have a motion to approve the last month's agenda? Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Public hearing? None. Informational presentations?
None.
None this month?
No, Madam Chair.
Going to old business? Also, hearing none. New business?
Yes.
Can I ask a question just a minute to back up? On our consent agenda, did you do the whole thing or just number one?
I believe the motion was to approve the consent agenda.
Completely.
In its entirety.
Completely.
Because I heard
the
approval
of it,
and I didn't know which the whole thing. Thank you.
You okay with that, Council?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Madam Chair, item J. We've got two items under new business this afternoon. The first, J1, is KUA's strategic plan goals for calendar year 2021. And as most of you know, because you were a part of the development back in 2017-18 timeframe, we put together a five-year strategic plan. We're getting ready to wrap up the third year goals of that five-year plan and begin the fourth year goals. There were three pillars of that plan, if y'all recall, and those have remained the same. The first being improving services and experiences for our customers, two being maintaining excellent financial strength, and three, cultivating a great work environment. You may also recall that last year we modified the plan to realign the goals with the calendar year. So the 2020 goals that are wrapping up, we'll be presenting those results to the board early next year. Staff has been working on the development of the recommended goals for 2021, and we have those, and they've been provided to you, and they align with those three core key areas. As with prior years, there's some of the annual goals that have remained the same due to their continued importance in meeting the objective of the core key areas. However, there are several new goals that are being recommended for 2021, and I've met with you all individually and walked you all through those goals. Several of you provided feedback, comments, and changes that staff have incorporated in red here on the document. Since we spent a lot of time on this individually, what I'd like to do is is the focus on the feedback and suggestions that I received from y'all individually, the specific goals for the sake of the board as a whole, and it's determined if y'all want to have any further discussions on any of those. With that in mind, I'd like to draw your attention to the third goal under maintaining a distribution reliability, which is a strategic goal for our power production area. Kane Islands Unit 1 and 3 and 4 are our most efficient units. Y'all know that. And running those units, it saves our ratepayers money when compared to running some of our less efficient units. Because of this, we want to make sure that 3 and 4 are running more often than the other units, 1 and 2. Unit availability is a national index for benchmarking unit performance. The target that we set for the goal was to be above the national average. I had a suggestion during one of my one-on-one meetings that we include the numerical national average for FY20 that just passed in the document, and it's shown there in red that the national average was 84.5% for FY20. Y'all may recall that we had a wonderful year from a performance perspective out at Kane Island last year. I think we broke the runtime record on Unit 3, is that correct? So the availability rating on Unit 3 was around 92%. Unit 4, I think, was right at about 90%. Okay. The next area under improved customer experience, there was a goal to integrate automated customer notices in Spanish by text and email by June 30th of 2021. I had one of you that while we were discussing the goals, you indicated a desire to find a way to provide customer bills also in Spanish. I agree with that, and I got with staff, and we discussed that yesterday, and we think that we can get that done by the end of December of 2021. So that goal has been added there in red. As well.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
In putting that into it, are we going to do it separate or side by side, or how are you going to present it? In other words, are they going to click on Spanish if they want to read it in Spanish, or?
Well, I think we've got to work through that with IT to see how it'll be presented. I'm not sure exactly at this point how it'll be shown.
Okay. I was just wondering if you thought about that.
Brian, are we talking hard copy also, or just the electronic?
Right now, we're talking electronic. There's a cost associated with print that we need to investigate.
Okay. Thank you.
Next is the AMI deployment. We're about 83% complete with the AMI meter deployment. We had a target completion date for completing that deployment of June 30th, 2021. But based on some feedback that I received, we're going to move that date up to May 31st, 2021, to ensure that all of our customers have AMI meters prior to the summer of 2021 when the usage increases due to heat. We received a comment regarding the pilot EV charging station goal. There was a concern from one of the board members about the costs associated with implementing a hub station that y'all wanted to make, this particular board member wanted to make sure that we weren't going to exceed the $300,000 that y'all authorized a couple of years ago for the pilot program. We certainly aren't going to do that. To date, we've expended about half of that, about $150,000 have been spent on deployments at OHP, the courthouse, and some other locations. I think Toho has one now as well. We also received another suggestion related to the goal, and we had a board member that suggested that we look at the Poinciana Sunrail location for the hub location. And we went back and we looked at that. Unfortunately, I like that idea. Unfortunately, that site falls just outside of our service territory. So that's probably, you know, we don't want utilities installing stuff in our service territory, so we shouldn't do that as well. There was another suggestion to look at the hospitals, and so we're gonna look into that and investigate that. But we're gonna look at numerous sites, including the Loop, and we'll pick the very best site for the hub deployment.
Is there
going to
be a cost to that?
For the installation, yes, ma'am. But it will come out
for the use.
For the use, yes, ma'am. That will be bore by the user.
So if it's at the Loop, we get a lot of Orange County use.
Potentially.
That would be good then. Let somebody else.
The next goal, still in that customer, improving customer service, there was a goal for our customer and community outreach efforts to begin publishing external communications such as news releases and social media posts in both English and Spanish. We had a target date for this goal of July 31st, 2021, but we're going to be moving that goal up after discussions with several board members to May 31st, 2021. And then finally, if you go to the key results area for financial, I shared with y'all individually an opportunity that we have to study the feasibility of a potential new revenue stream. Several of you expressed concern about the language that we had in that particular goal. So we've modified that language to read, explore potential source of new revenue stream with a, and I believe the target date, I can't see it here, but is it October?
October
31st. That stayed the same. So those are all of the comments and feedback that y'all provided on the proposed goals for 2021. With that, I will entertain any questions that y'all have regarding the proposed goals.
Brian, I got just a comment. These goals. Of course, I would say thank you and say congratulations to you and your staff for putting these goals together. They're challenging, but fair and reasonable. Sometimes I know I've had experiences in the past that we set ourselves up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
So, setting goals that were unreachable, unattainable, just to have something look more than it should have been on paper. But as I said, I congratulate you for the work you did on this one. Excellent goals, and I think they're reasonable, but still challenging.
I appreciate that. It's really the staff, but thank you.
Right.
I have a question. Up on the customer satisfaction survey, is that down from last year?
So the customer satisfaction survey target is a little different this year. It's not down. I think we were at 8.7 last year, but it was combined. It combined residential and commercial. At least that's how it was presented. When we did the survey, it was split apart. But what we found is the utilities that are engaging in customer satisfaction, they split those two out because the needs and the wants are different, and we want to understand what we can do better with each of those respective classes. The 8.7, I think the combined was either 8.6 or 8.7, so it was right there. I think the commercial last year was 8.4, which was the basis for the target this year for 2021.
Okay. Is that it, Brian?
Well, we would need a, if the board is okay with these recommended goals, we would need a motion to accept as amended, because these red changes were not in the package that was sent out.
I move as
a second.
Do I have a second?
Do you have a second? Anyone who agrees?
Aye.
Aye.
Ray, did you answer?
Yes.
Okay. I did. Aye.
So we have approval of the motion.
Madam Chair. The next, we've got, Madam Chair, we've got one other piece of new business, approve award of professional engineering services. And to tell us a little bit about that is Larry Madden, Vice President of Operations.
Good evening, everyone. How you doing? So engineering award, what we're doing here is, in the past, we've had one engineering firm, which was Black & Veatch. But as you see, we have many things that engineering falls under. We have in-house engineers, but we also do civil, electrical, mechanical, and environmental. And when you get all these different disciplines in together, we'd have to up staff dramatically to cover you know, all these different disciplines. So, and a lot of these things come up on as needed basis. Since the industry's changed and things have been going forward, engineers work for different firms now that we've had long relationships with. We also have technologies changed. There's so many different challenges that we took this opportunity to have a choice of more than one firm. So we went out for a bid, and 25 different outfits put in to compete. What we do is some of the things we do is take care of transmission lines, as you well know that. We have engineering for substations, for the generation. You know, we built the power plants. Emerging technologies and environmental. Environmental is big. That, again, that would be a department of itself to take care of all those different things. The emerging technologies is one of the driving things is why we're looking at four different, well, we end up with four with different ones, because each one may have more expertise in some of these than others, and we want the choice. So, again, we went out for an RFP, and 25 different firms put in. They were different sizes from different parts of the country. We ended up with the four you see below, Black & Veatch, Burns McDonnell, GAI, and Power Engineers Incorporated. All of them could, on their own, do all the different things we need, but some would do some of those things better than the others. The pricing was fairly competitive to each other, and we have a contract prepared, if you accept, of 3 years with one-year renewals after that. And unless there's questions, the recommended motion is to award it to the four that I've mentioned.
I have a question.
Yes.
If you can go back.
Okay.
What you're going to do is choose one of those four with each, every time you need a service?
Yes, we could use the same. Those four are available. We'll see what service we need, and then we'll go to the one that we know or may have the best. What we did, we interviewed six of the top, and of those six, we chose these four. And we saw the different strengths in the different engineering firms. So one that we may know has is very strong in the environmental side, we have the right to go to any of those four. And we could say, well, this one is the strongest in environmental, we would just go to them like we used to just the Black & Veatch and get the services, contract services.
So you could end up with one corporation or one company getting it all? Or it could be split four ways, five ways, whatever our business is.
Depending on what our jobs are, yes.
You will be choosing between the best one that fits our needs.
Yes.
At the moment.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, it's also worth noting that the recommendation, if the board approves the recommendation, there's no guarantee of work for any of these four firms.
And they understand that.
They understand that, yes.
You're willing to work with us that way.
Yes, they knew that as we, there's going to be, they're splitting engineer of record, which means as jobs come, we go to the one we need, and they all have the same master service agreement. So how they operate when they get here is the same for all.
They each know that there is four of them?
Yes.
Clarification, that they each have separate master services agreements. The agreements are very, very similar, but these are separate negotiations, and some terms are different between vendors.
The other benefit that it provides is a flexibility in scheduling projects. If you've got two projects that are overlapping and one firm has their resources here, they've got their resources working for someone else, we don't have to go back out and try to find another engineer to move forward on our project. We just go to the other firm that we've got on retainer.
Good plan.
Yeah, Madam Chair, based on that information, I'll make a motion to accept their recommendation.
Did you ask a question?
I have a question.
Well, I'll second it.
Discussion. For discussion purposes, yeah.
I know that I'm familiar with the first two companies that were identified. Have the other two companies done work? Because I don't recall their names since I came on the board.
Power Engineers has. They actually have engineers that came from some of the other two that you're, or at least from the top one that you're familiar with and some other places. But they're familiar engineers with the staff here. When we had each of them give a, of course, we had to do it by Zoom, but they brought forth all their engineers for their different disciplines who would be in charge of those different disciplines. And we interviewed with our engineers. We had five folks there, all of our not our lead engineers, but our managers, assistant VPs, they're both our engineers. Plus, we had our principal engineer there, and I was there. And we went through the different questions, presentations, and so we saw that the GAI is probably the most unfamiliar with me, but they are very big in the country and the industry, and our other engineers has familiarity with them. The other ones we've worked with, and they all can reach a standard. Again, any of them could stand alone and just be one and do the job here, but as Brian and some of the other things that we've brought up are some of the reasons we want that flexibility. That if they're already here doing a similar thing, we can just go to them. If they're tied up in other jobs, we can go to the other firm and all the other things. We can get the best expertise. If we have an engineer that leaves and goes to another firm in one of these, we have a good working relationship, we can do that.
The contract period is for three years with 2 1-year. You have to come back to us for those two renewals?
I don't think we do on that. I think that's between us and the firms themselves.
No.
In other words, what we're doing is we're contracting for 5 years.
Potentially, yes, ma'am.
Good. Okay, so we have a motion and a second. So everyone in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. So we go on to staff reports.
Yes, Madam Chair. Item K1 is the unaudited year-end financial statements from FY 20. And today, standing in Kevin Crawford's place, Vice President of Finance and Administration, is Noel Araka, who's our manager, our new manager, 6 months
Very
now,
new.
Manager of Financial Analysis, and he's going to present. Although I think we do have Kevin, on via Zoom, in case you guys have some questions.
All right, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I want to first thank Kevin and Brian for giving me the opportunity to present the financials today. I wanted to have the opportunity to finally meet all of you in person, and this was a good opportunity. So. Thank you, Brian and Kevin. So I'm here to present the operating results for the quarter and the year ended September 30th, 2020. I want to highlight that these are unaudited financial statements. The auditors are here right now as we speak, actually in the building, and we will present audited financial statements, I believe, in the February 2021 meeting. So the first slide has to do with megawatt hour sales. Thanks to a good quarter, fourth quarter, we ended up with 1.6 million megawatt hour sales for the year. That is 1.8% over budget and 0.4% over prior year. In the fourth quarter, weather was a factor with cooling degree days running a little bit higher, about 2.6% higher than the similar quarter last year. So it was a little warmer in 2020 compared to 2019 for that quarter. We continue to maintain excellent financial strength by meeting the fiscal policies that this board has set in the past. You can see them listed in your screen. Additionally, we met the target of positive net income to the tune of $7.2 million for the year. As part of improving the customer experience, there was a goal of keeping the 1,000 kilowatt hour residential rates in the bottom one third of the all the utilities within the state of Florida. So we reached that. We're at 18.9%. If you want to look at it one way, we're out of 38, we're in number 31 in terms of highest to lowest. So we're firmly in that bottom third category. Rate stabilization. So during the year, we use $8.5 million of rate stabilization through the COBA mechanism. Back in April's meeting, there was a mandate. I'm not sure if that's the right word, to use $2 million per month from May to August to help our customers during the early stages of the COVID situation. So that's eight of the 8.5, and then we use the additional $500,000 in September. We also were able to use the rate stabilization that we have with the FMPA during the year, and that's $1.2 million. On the opposite side, we were able to deposit $22 million to the rate stabilization fund this year from available cash from operations and also the unused amounts from capital projects that were released towards the end of the year.
Well, let me ask you a question. $7.2 million, where does that show up here?
The 7.2 is net income. The cash from operations is not exactly the same, but the cash from operations, the net cash is kind of tied to the net income. So whatever is left over kind of flows into the, to some extent, to the rate stabilization fund. Not all of it, but part of it. And again, any capital projects that were completed, and there was some excess funds from that and their release, those are also available to flow into the rate stabilization account.
I think that's one of what we really wanted was mm-hmm. as much as we could in that rate stabilization.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Cool. All right, so now the financial statements. So for the year, we were able to generate $42.5 million in meter sales revenue. That is $4.4 million above forecast, or 1.84, and that's kind of goes hand in hand with those megawatt hour sales. So we were about 1.8 higher on those. So that translates in more revenue. The cost of power adjustment, we expected to be at $52.2 million with the budget, but we came out at $68 million through the COPA mechanism. And that resulted in $15.8 million that additionally was returned to our customers this year. That was driven primarily because of lower fuel costs. This year, when the pandemic happened, a lot of business kind of stopped, you know, so there was a glut. There was a decrease in demand and a glut in supply, so that typically brings fuel prices down, and the cost of gas was down. I actually looked it up, and I think compared to budget versus actual, for the last 6 months was about 20% lower than what we have budgeted. So that definitely helped us in passing those savings to the customer through the COPA mechanism. The rate stabilization transfer, we were able to deposit $22 million in the previous slide, and then we used $8.5 million in the mechanism. So that 13.6 that you see in the actual column is the net of those two. So compared to budget, we were able to contribute an additional $6.9 million to the rate stabilization fund for the year. So in total, we ended up with $179 million. We expected $197 million. So we have a variance of $18 million, which again is mostly driven by the changes or the variance in the cost of power adjustment and the rate stabilization fund. And typically, I would say that those two, when there is what you would call an unfavorable variance here, is because there's a favorable variance someplace else in the financial. So in the case of cost of power, there was a favorable variance in fuel. So you'll see it over there as a favorable, and then they kind of have a play with each other. Okay, so here's the fuel. So we have lower fuel costs for the year. In the demand category, we had a favorable $3.4 million. In the energy charges, we have a favorable variance of $8.6 million. The energy, again, is tied to the fuel costs, again, gas prices being lower and all of that. So in terms of the total fuel and purchase power, we were a positive variance of $13.6 million. Sorry, my clicker. I'm behind in the clicker. I'm not used to the clicker. And then when you look at operating revenue less fuel and purchase power, we ended up at $69.4 million, and the budget was almost $74 million, and there was a variance of $4.5 million. In the operations and maintenance costs for the different departments, all of the departments came out favorable this year, and we ended up with a positive variance of $4.5 million. Some of the major contributors to this was, for example, lower salaries and fringe benefits because of some open positions during the year. Obviously, travel and training kind of died out because of COVID, so we didn't travel or went to conventions or seminars as much as you would do in a normal year. So we ended up pretty much meeting our net operating revenue for the year. We're only off $8,000, so that's excellent. We planned that to the penny.
I'm sure that just happened the past 6 months.
Yes. No, it's, yeah. It is, you know, we've been, our customers have been resilient. So we're lucky to have them as our customers. And I think that reflects on our financials. Other operating expenses, these are depreciation, taxes, insurance, interest revenue, and interest expense for the year. I think the one that I want to point out is interest revenue, because it took a 48% nosedive. That's basically because the yield has dropped pretty significantly on any investments. I mean, if you look at your own bank account and or CD rates, I mean, they're almost nothing right now because the Fed reduced the discount rate to almost zero when the pandemic hit. So that and people kind of flying, investors kind of going to safe investments kind of drives the yield down on other types of investments. So our yield, and you'll see that in the last slide, is pretty close to less than 0.5% right now. So the net change in position was we had income of $7.2 million compared to a budget of $9.7 million.
And that's on debt service interest?
Interest revenue?
No, the expense, the interest.
Oh, the debt service, that's interest expense on our...
Also due to the decline of the interest rates.
Yes. Yes, it works both ways. Okay, so regarding the portfolio, we have $127 million in the portfolio right now, or as of the end of September. Most of that money is invested in the, let me get the right word for this, State Board of Administration funds and U.S. government securities. A significant portion of those of that money is going to be used for reserves and future pay down of our commercial paper. And actually, we paid down, I think, in October, we paid down like $10 million, I believe. And the last slide is with the yield. So you can see that starting in February and March, our yield just went into a nosedive. So obviously, that has affected our interest income for the year. And I think that's it for my presentation. Any questions?
Very good.
Good job.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yep.
Any comments, any questions, anybody?
Good. Good report.
Yep.
Good report. Okay, so I guess we go on to hear the attorney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good evening. Madam Chair and board members, Christmas came a little early to us legally. You may recall that you're part owners of OUC's operated Stanton Units 1 and 2 coal generation
plants. And I'm happy to report that the plaintiffs in that case voluntarily had their case dismissed with prejudice. That litigation, for all intents and purposes, is over. OUC is still appealing one ruling earlier in the case because the district court judge, the U.S. district court judge in the case, had ruled that sovereign immunity did not apply to the claims that plaintiff had filed. So OUC wants to make sure that that ruling is vacated so no one else can come and try to use that. But the case is over. It's a very, very positive result. Christmas comes a little early on that. And we owe, between our ownership interests and our participation in FMPA's projects at Stanton, we had about 14.4% involved. So it's a very positive result. In Congress and the White House, they're still talking about maybe doing something with COVID-19 relief, but they're still at loggerheads. We'll see if something happens before the end of the year or if it'll wait till the next administration. And then other than that, I wish you and all the board members and colleagues a safe and happy holiday season.
Thank you. Mr. Hurton.
Yes. There are your board reminders. I will point out that January the 6th at 2 p.m. we'll do our annual board photo. I believe that we're ordering polo shirts. We'll all be in polos. So we'll all be the same color this year. We're going to do that at one of the EV charging stations there at the courthouse, Osceola Courthouse.
Oh.
Okay. Then there's the, obviously, next month's board meeting. January the 11th, we've got the FMEA Electricity 101 course. Mayor, I think we've registered you to participate, and Director Sanchez as well. If any of you, if any other of the other board members would like to, I think several of you have already done it, but if you'd like to participate in that, we can register you as well. Just let us know. In March 1st and 2nd, the APPA legislative rally will be hosted virtually. You all have been registered for that as well. And with that, I would mirror my general counsel's comments. I wish you all a very safe and prosperous new year. Next year.
Okay, now here are the directors. I want to welcome the new mayor, Gonzalez. I can't even see you through that tree, through the decoration. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. Manny, any questions, any comments you may have?
No.
No?
I just wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you. Manny?
Oh, another great year. In spite of what's going on out there, the KUA continues to impress and continues to do a good job. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's to everyone.
Thank you. Jeannie?
Well, KUA is the bright spot of the year. Other than that, I'm really going to be glad when it's gone. 2020 has not been the best year for anybody, I don't think. Hopefully, the new year will bring us some peace and quiet and just no sickness. That's big right there. And other than that, I just wish you all a happy holiday, safe. I hope you can be with your families. I know it's kind of questionable anymore, but as a matter of choice, whether you want to be with your family or not. And just bless you and your family during the holiday season.
Thank you. Ray?
It's Ray.
The other one is Raymond.
Yep, that's true. Again, I'd like to wish everybody season's greetings. And I hope everybody stays well until we can get an approved virus and everybody can get inoculated.
We have an approved virus.
We Oh, yeah, I'd rather give everybody the virus. Sorry about that.
No approved virus. Okay. Raymond?
Just like all of you, that everyone have a safe and wonderful holiday and new year. Thank you all for the warm welcome of joining the board late this year, and I look forward to a great 2021.
Thank you. And for myself, just the same. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Feliz Navidad, everybody. And stay safe. Meeting adjourned.